This is the Green Zone.
Bye-bye! He is the baddest man in the NFL!
This is the Green Zone with Dave Ross and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And welcome to the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. We got you covered for the next 7 hours of NFL action. Wes, before we introduce the thousands of people that are going to help us get through this day today, should be great action in week number 3 of the NFL. Anything you're keeping your eye on and or maybe an injury report that you say, ooh, people should know about this before you place
your
wager?
We did see it get bet in the market here. Game 471-472, that's Indianapolis and Tennessee in the AFC South. Carson Wentz is going to start today and got the clearance to go. So that got up as high as 6 yesterday at a couple spots. Now seeing basically 4.5. There's some 5s out there, but 4.5 here at BetMGM. So look, 0-2 start for the Colts, losing 2 home games. So maybe getting on the road is the best thing for them. We'll see how long Carson Wentz holds up.
But not one bad ankle, 2 bad ankles.
Yes.
But he's going to give it a go
and
today.
And all 3 quarterbacks, by the way, are active for the Colts today. So Brett Hundley is active. Also, Jacob Eason is active, just in case Wentz can't go.
I mentioned, Wes, it's going to take a lot of people to help us get through the next 7 hours of
it
NFL
takes a village,
action.
Dave.
It really does. Let's introduce you to all of our correspondents today. How about Anthony Armstrong, Nate Jacobson, Dave Miller? Of course, Wes, you're going to keep your eye on the Colts and the Titans for us. Sean Green, Ben Falks, Will Hill, Peter Dewey, and Arthur Arkush. So, gentlemen, welcome to the program today. Nate, let's start off with you in Chicago. Nate Jacobson does great work at Stadium as a betting analyst there. And, Nate, again, the Bears, they're on the road in Cleveland today, but I know the city of Chicago cannot wait to see the new QB1.
Yeah, Justin Fields, first start for the Chicago Bears, the first round pick, replacing Andy Dalton, who has a knee injury. There was announcement on Wednesday that Fields would start. This line kind of has stayed the same. I'm not really sure what the market was trying to think of Justin Fields and if there's a drop-off with Andy Dalton. I know on some of the look-ahead lines before week 2, the Browns were a 9-point favorite, but I think the drop to right now is right before kickoff, Browns minus 7.5. I think it's more a little bit of concern about the Browns and if their offense can score enough points after they fail to cover against the Houston Texans. There's also 15-mile-per-hour winds in Cleveland. Ooh. And we've seen the total tick down as low as 44.5. Right now, 45.5, as it looks like that'll be the total it closes at. So an intriguing game. I have nothing before the game, but as always, going to be looking for live action and give my analysis about some of the live odds as the Browns are about to receive the opening kickoff.
All right, very good stuff. We'll check in with Nate all day, and it's nice to see Nate coming to us from church today because it's football Sunday, so the background is appropriate. Let's go to Dave Miller right now for the first time here on the Green Zone. Dave's going to be watching the Ravens and the Lions, of course, field level media, and a Heisman voter, by the way. So, Dave, it's always great to have you on the program. What are you looking for today with the Lions? They've been, I guess, spunky in the first 2 weeks despite coming up a little bit short.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you look back at the Lions teams of the past, if this was your typical sort of average Lions team, you have Lamar Jackson coming in, you have a great rushing offense, you have dynamic receivers for the Ravens, so you get scared. But then you tell yourself, look at the decimated defensive line and linebacker core for the Ravens, and the Lions' strength is offensive line, tight end, running back. So, you know, this is an offensive line that can really give the Ravens problems today, I feel like. The problem is, if you're a Lions fan, they've only put together really 2 halves of really good football this year. So to beat a team like the Ravens, you're going to have to play 4 quarters. You know, the line at 7.5, I always, you know, you never want to really touch that. I just see a scenario in which, you know, the Lions maybe play a strong first half, but it gets away from them at the end. This is a secondary that in week 1 was the youngest in the NFL. Well, they lost 2 of those young guys. They actually promoted Daryl Worley from the practice squad this week, a 5-year vet, but he's the most experienced cornerback on this roster. So it's just, it could be a long day for that Detroit secondary.
All right, let's see if they bite some kneecaps today. Detroit trying to get that home win as a big dog today against Baltimore. We'll check in with Dave throughout the afternoon. Of course, right now, for the first time, let's go out to Sean Green. Sean's watching the Chargers and the Chiefs today, which has already kicked off. Sean, what are you keeping your eye on early? And, of course, do great work as a sports gambling podcast host. What do you make of this matchup today?
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. I mean, we have the rare opportunity to bet on Patrick Mahomes after a loss, and it seems like that's what the public is doing. I know, according to WinBet, the Chiefs minus 6 is one of their biggest liabilities. of the day. So it'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs get off to a hot start. They certainly did against the Ravens, getting a defensive touchdown early and then kind of fumbled the ball away, figuratively and literally, with the Clyde Edwards-Helaire late fumble. It'll be interesting to see how this Chargers defense holds up against the Kansas City offense. Tyreek Hill kind of had a down game, certainly by Tyreek Hill's standards, so I expect him to bounce back in a big way. It'll be interesting to see if they can slow down Kelce at all, and you know, what we get out of Herbert on the road. Usually the Chargers pretty strong against the spread on the road, but then you're fighting the other trend of Patrick Mahomes coming off of a loss against the spread. I really like that angle.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see how that game plays out. The Chargers right away, first drive, three and out. Looks like they're going to be punting to the Chiefs for the first time today. And for the first time today, let's go to the man we call AAA, Anthony Armstrong, of course, former NFL wide receiver, played for the Browns, played for the Washington football team, and of course, the guys with the stars on their helmet down there in Dallas. Anthony, you've got the Bills against the Washington football team today. What do you expect to see in this one?
Well, yeah, this is a game that I actually had circled on the schedule before the season started, just simply because of the way that it can match up. You know, Josh Allen, MVP candidate, athletic quarterback, going up against what's supposed to be a pretty solid Washington defense. I mean, the pass rush up front should be able to get to him. You have athletic linebackers that can keep him in play. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen there with that, you know, Washington plus seven. You would think that they'd be able to cover. Obviously, it's going to come down to Taylor Heinicke and what he can do on offense, getting the ball to Terry McLaurin and the crew there. It's an exciting game. Buffalo did just convert a deep third down, so they're kind of getting a little bit of rhythm going right now.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that one with AAA, watching the Washington football team and the Buffalo Bills. And for the first time today, let's check in with Arthur Arkush. He is the NFL writer and reporter, of course, and he's watching the Cardinals and the Jaguars closely today. And Arthur, again, it feels like, boy, the Cardinals now, they're kind of the faves. Everybody loves them so far. Could this be a trip-up spot, laying a big number on the road?
Yeah, we'll have to see. They're playing with fire early, actually, guys. Had a chance at a pick in their own territory, and Isaiah Simmons couldn't come up with it, and a penalty has them backed up on their first possession, a special teams penalty. So everyone knows Kyler Murray has been absolutely red hot. Trevor Lawrence experiencing some early growing pains. Of course, not only the former number one overall picks, but the former collegiate coaches kind of heading in opposite directions thus far. So we'll see if Urban's crew can show any life and if Cliff Kingsbury and company can stay red hot. As I mentioned, on offense, they've been like a video game.
All right, great stuff as always, Arthur. We'll check back in throughout the afternoon. And for the first time, let's check in with Peter Dewey, BetSided.com editor. He's got the Bengals and the Steelers today. And boy, Peter, we saw a significant line move in this game. Got down to as low, I believe, before kick, the Steelers minus three. So what are you seeing so far to justify possibly that line move?
Yeah, the big thing I've noticed in this one is obviously the Big Ben injury earlier this week and Deontay Johnson being ruled out for today. Definitely, I think, moved this line in favor of the Bengals. The Steelers just went three and out on their first possession, which is not great for the outlook of this offense. They really, for me, they have not impressed the first 2 weeks. So I think without Johnson, it might be an uphill battle for Pittsburgh today against a Bengals team that has looked pretty good the first 2 weeks. I know Burrow turned the ball over a lot in week two, but they look pretty good against the Vikings in week one. So this should be an interesting one to follow the rest of the day.
Yeah, Peter, that's an acceptable Freudian slip to say Dalton with Burrow. Because when you think of turnover, sometimes I know they do that with the Bears. They would think of Andy Dalton, but you did not expect that from Joe Burrow with the three straight picks last week against the Bears in that loss. For the first time today, Wes, let's go out to not the Will Hill. Yes, it's the Will Hill right now. He is watching the Falcons and the Giants. Should we apologize to Will for giving him this game? Of course, does great work as a point spread weekly contributor here at VSiN. Will, what do you make so far? I know they're going to honor Eli at the half. Does Daniel Jones, is he going to play like Eli today?
I'm on Atlanta plus three here. I know it went down to 2.5. I just came into the game with the approach that the Giants do not deserve to be 2.5, 3-point favorites over anybody, you know, aside from maybe Jacksonville, Houston with Davis Mills. But I think we got a third down stop here by the Giants. The Falcons did pick up a first down on an interference, but it looks like the Falcons are about to punt here. One thing to watch here, two bad offensive lines, so maybe the live under is worth the play. Falcons can't get anything, any push up front. They're just running for 1-2 yards of carry. Giants not a good offensive line either. It's hard to sustain drives when you have a bad offensive line, so that's something to watch going forward.
All right, great stuff, Will. We will check in with you, and I do believe we have the first points of the week three afternoon.
We do, and AAA's got the particulars up there. Washington football team, Buffalo Bills. Bills on the board, Anthony.
Extending the play, had a little play action, fake a little reverse. He slides out to the right, catches Emmanuel Sanders in the end zone. A little scramble drill. He gets away from the rookie, Benjamin St. Juiced. It's going to be a tough matchup all day long. You got the veteran going up against that young player there. But that big third down was huge. If you can, if Washington can slow them those guys down on third down, it could change the outlook of the game. But first touchdown is Emmanuel Sanders.
AAA, very quickly to that end, I know the Washington football defense. It's what everybody talked about after what we saw last year, Chase Young and company. It's supposed to be a dynamic front four up front. But AAA, we haven't seen that so far. It didn't manifest itself 10 days ago against the Giants in that Thursday night game, and it certainly didn't in week one. What do you make so far of what you're seeing with that Washington front?
Man, I think everybody has to step up just a little bit more. You can't live off of those expectations. You know, Chase Young is not going to get to the quarterback every single time. Mm. The DBs need to lock up a little bit better. And the rookie, St. Juice, he's out there getting those opportunities. Somebody needs to make a play. You would love to see Montez Sweat do a little bit more, get some more pressure up in the middle as well. And you're still seeing the same effects from that defense, having issues with that middle, the middle to short zones against the linebackers right now. So if everybody can just tighten up on their assignments, pay attention to what they're seeing from the team, and trust the coach, trust the game, they should improve as the year goes along.
All right, let's see what Taylor Heinicke can do. Great stuff, AAA. We got our first points in the Boyd West, but I'm sure it won't be the last. Come on back to Green Zone, week 3 of the NFL, just getting cranked up right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Is now available 24/7 on the YouTube TV Sports Plus pack. Sign up today at tv.youtube.com to start your free trial. And remember, you can also watch us 24/7 on Fubo TV, Sling, and Xfinity X1. Visit VSiN.com to find all the ways to watch and listen to VSiN. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. And Wes, we mentioned the first points of the game were in Buffalo against the Washington football team. And with that comes some adjusted numbers. What do you have?
Yeah, it was Allen to Sanders on the touchdown. Now Buffalo -11.5, -$1.45 at BetMGM. 49.5 your total. Washington on a third down just as their first ball or their first possession of the game. And now Indianapolis, Tennessee, which is the game I am keeping an eye on. Tennessee going to go for it. 4th and 4 on the 41-yard line of Indianapolis. Kind of no man's land there. So we will get you updated on the particulars with that one when we get them.
And I know, like, when we talk to Will Hill, I'm kind of the old guy in the room that says, I'm not saying punt. Sometimes I'm saying points. I understand going for it, and I'm 4th and 4, and it looks like they converted there. So, again, different philosophies there, but I like going for it in that kind of no man's land spot that you mentioned. Let's go to for the first time today to Ben Faulks. Of course, he is our VP of digital content here at VSiN Live from the South Point studio. And you're watching the Patriots and Saints today. Ben, what have you observed so far? I know it's scoreless, but, again, we know next week Tom Brady and the Patriots. This week they got the Saints.
Yeah, guys, so far, 2 punts. So really, it's a barn burner here so far. 2 punts. Saints get the ball back. They are now just into Patriots territory, I believe, at the 43-yard line. Teron Armstead, the Saints tackle, just did go down. So a potential issue for the Saints there. And obviously for the Patriots, Trent Brown was inactive. So potential issues on both lines for the teams. Should mention also, this is a highly bet game, especially here at South Point. They did take a $110,000 wager on the Saints +3. So they went +3, +2.5. They were kind of pinging back and forth, but a large wager on the Saints here at South Point.
You should follow Ben, as I do, at BFox22 on Twitter. And I saw when he tweeted that out this morning, and I thought, well, that seems like an interesting play against the hoodie, right? I mean, okay, you're catching three. I understand that. But it just feels like we'll find out if they can generate enough offense if you get Jameis Winston from week one or you get Jameis Winston from week
two. Yeah, that was a passable game for me. I had no play on that game. We do have more points, this being in Cleveland.
Oh,
Cairo Santos, 47-yard field goal. Bears now up 3-0 early on the Browns. Browns now down to 4.5, 44.5 on the end game at BetMGM.
Let's go to Nate Jacobson for that update with the Bears and the Browns. And Nate, we also saw, I believe, The Browns trying to get aggressive, but that Bears front four said, no, sir. What happened there?
Yeah, so Browns had a little bit of a drive going at fourth and four from the Bears 38. They decided to go for it, which I don't blame them for. Kevin Stefanski is always kind of the more a forward-thinking, aggressive coach. But Baker Mayfield got sacked around midfield. Bears then ripped off a 16-yard run on Justin Fields' first snap as a starter in the NFL. So they got into field goal range themselves. And then they were stopped on a third and short. And on fourth and two, they decided to kick a field goal from 47-yard Cairo Santos. Right now, the Bears, 4.5-point underdog. It closed 7.5. So if you kind of like the Browns before the game, maybe this is the time to jump in. The offense was able to move the ball on the first drive. They just stalled after kind of a bad snap on the fourth down where Baker Mayfield was sacked. So maybe something to go Browns in play if you like them before the game. But yeah, 3-0 Bears right now as we have a TV timeout in Cleveland.
Nate, very quickly on that first drive with Justin Fields as the new QB1 in Chicago, what did you make? What's the style of play calling? I know it's early and they did get the easy three with the short field here, but what'd you make of the play designs that they're calling for Fields so far?
So yeah, Dave, it was mostly handoffs. There was one time he dropped back to pass. And one of the big concerns going into this game is the Bears offensive line. Just so many injuries, and it's just not a very talented unit to begin with. And the Browns have a very strong defensive line or pass rush led by Myles Garrett. So when Fields did drop to back to pass, there was no one open. So he ran for, I believe it was 8 yards that set up the third and one. So Fields kind of Andy Dalton in terms of the mobility. But right now I haven't been able to tell if there's any changes in philosophy in terms of offensive play calling with Fields. I'll keep you updated as the game goes on, as I know the nation is very excited about what Justin Fields has to offer after he was very good at Ohio State for a couple seasons.
You nailed it, Nate, and certainly the city of Chicago, that is for sure. They want to know what this kid's going to look like and the style of play calling that they're going to make for Matt Nagy. And maybe this is Matt Nagy's last chance to show that he's an offensive innovator with a guy that you think should be an innovative quarterback, right? Can do a lot of different things. So we'll find out as that game progresses. But we did see a turnover in the Chargers in the Chiefs game. And let's go back to Sean Green for the details on that. Hey, Sean.
Yeah, rare interception by Patrick Mahomes. Watching it live, didn't look like his fault. The ball went right off the receiver's hand, skied in the air, and then Asante Samuel Jr. made a diving interception. Chargers got the ball back on their own 3, have gotten a first down so far, still backed up in their, inside their own red zone there on the other side. Looks like they're at their 18 right now, facing a third and long. We'll see where the game goes from here. The live number, pretty similar to what we saw in kickoff, maybe 7.5 now for the Chiefs. They were able to drive down pretty easily, but no score yet here in Kansas City.
All right, great stuff, Sean. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I saw the ball, it goes through the hands, and it looks like on the stat sheet, just Mahomes turnover. You go back to Brady in that first Thursday night game against the Cowboys. He had 2 picks. One of them went right through the hands of Leonard Fournette. The other one was a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. When you look at MVP stats at the end of the year, sometimes those INTs do stick out, right, before you place your wager who you think is going to be the league MVP. And sometimes they kind of forget the manner in which those turnovers happen.
Right. And we do, by the way, have points on the board here. The Giants get a field goal 25 yards from Graham Gano. 3-0. Now about 7 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Giants minus 3.5, 44.5 on the total.
And again, Graham Gano just doesn't miss kicks anymore. He just doesn't. Let's go right now to Arthur Arcus. He is watching the Cardinals and the Jags, and we have points on the board. How did they happen?
Yeah, gentlemen, speaking of MVP stats, Kyler Murray, it's still the Kyler Murray show. 5 for 6, 56 yards passing, and ran it in pretty easily for the first touchdown of this game. Guys, he looks unstoppable. The Cardinals opened up laying 7.5. It's up to 14.5 now. You're just not seeing any life out of the Jaguars. It looks early on like the only defense for Jacksonville may be Arizona and unforced errors, but not from Kyler Murray. So this one could get ugly. But right now, it's still 7-0. Jaguars laying 14.5 at the moment.
I love it, Arthur.
Excuse me, the Cardinals laying 14.5. Excuse me.
Absolutely. And again, you look at some of these adjusted win totals, and I find this fascinating. I mean, you look at the Cardinals. All of a sudden, they get off on the good foot. And remember, all of this is predicated on a missed chip field goal last week by Minnesota. Now their adjusted win total is 10.5. Okay. The odds to win the Super Bowl for the Cardinals, it's 25-1. I mean, that's a significant drop from pre-flop, right? So all of a sudden, and I'm with Arthur. Again, we're going to talk a lot about the MVP, certainly when we get in the afternoon wave after we see how today's early action is concluded. But you've got to keep an eye on this stuff. And again, it's early, but King Kyler does look like a king right now.
Yeah, and look, Arizona's schedule is going to get harder substantially after today, even though I thought this was a little bit of a dead spot for Arizona. We'll see how this transpires, but you go to the Rams next week, and then you got the 49ers coming in. Then you go to Cleveland. So all of a sudden, we're going to find out how good Arizona is, but certainly off to a good start this afternoon.
I believe last time we spoke to Ben Faulks over at South Point, he mentioned there was a huge wager that came in on Jameis Winston and the Saints. So, Ben, I got to get an early read. How do you think that better is feeling right now? Is he sweating or everything looks good right now?
Looking good, guys. So far, so good. A touchdown drive for the Saints. 11 plays, 69 yards, capped off by an 11-yard touchdown pass to Alvin Kamara. Was one of those option routes, and sometimes with Kamara, it looks way too easy, and that one certainly did. It was a 3rd and 7 at the 11. Jameis Winston touchdown pass. Point after is good, so it's 7-0 Saints now in the first quarter. Patriots about to get the ball back.
All right, great stuff as always, Ben. Yeah, you know, if you're getting those three and you make a sizable wager that Ben told us about, well, you love to get the first points. You just, you're right, you feel like you're in it to win it, and you got a fighting shot. Look, Jameis looked good on that draft, and I talked about it. Week one, he looked like MVP. Week two, he looked like the guy that got booted out of Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And so far now, we're seeing the better version of Jameis so far in week three.
Yeah, Saints -2.5 at BetMGM right now, 45.5, -$1.45 on the money line, +115. The take back on the Patriots. We did also have a touchdown down in Tennessee. It was Ryan Tannehill to Chester Rogers from 6 yards out. So Tennessee up 7-0 early on. Titans -7.5, 47.5. Your current in-game total is they are monitoring. Yes. They have ankle cam right now on Carson Wentz.
You have to. The guy's got
for both of these ankles. Yeah, and he's trying to move around. We'll see if the Colts can get on the board. But former Colt Chester Rogers does the Colts in on that touchdown.
You know, I wonder if you're a Colts backer, did you feel better knowing that he was going to play with two bad ankles? Or would you rather have said, you know what, let's just try other guys and I don't have a wounded duck in there?
I mean, I didn't like Tennessee in the first place because I thought they were a little inflated on the side. I think that defense is still very much a work in progress with 6 new starters on that side of the ball. So I would rather see Wentz than Hundley. I've kind of seen enough out of Hundley. Okay. And then Jacob Eason, the fact that they were activating Brett Hundley told you they don't really love Jacob Eason maybe right there in Indianapolis. So it's like you got to go with your wounded animal here if you're Indianapolis.
It's starting to heat up, Wes. And right now the Browns moving deep into Chicago territory down 3-0. We've got scores, updates, and live adjusted odds. When you come back with us, it is the Green Zone right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Football season, your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back here on the Green Zone with Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross, and we've got action. It's getting hot and heavy around the National Football League, and I do believe we're going to start off with a couple of dueling turnovers in the Steel City. So for that, let's go to Peter Dewey. Peter, what's going on with these offenses?
Yeah, this is not, this is exactly what we expected with this Steelers-Bengals game. Both teams really struggling to take care of the ball. Joe Burrow with a bad interception, and then Ben Roethlisberger trying to avoid a sack, throws an interception, was picked at the line, and now the Bengals are driving their inside the Steelers' 40-yard line. Not a great start offensively. The Steelers' offense looks a little stale without Deontay Johnson. They've run a lot of like short passing type of screen plays, but they've also picked up an offensive pass interference and offensive holding call that have stalled drives. So this one is looking like a perfect under game. I see that it's at 37.5 right now, but the offense is look stuck in mud so far.
Yeah, again, great stuff, Peter. You watch this game, and again, we thought it would be low scoring. It is. We thought it would be predicated on maybe the offenses that make mistakes. Joe Burrow really didn't have that rep of making mistakes, I think, until the Bears game last week when he threw three straight picks. And then he comes out and throws a pick early in this one, and then Ben, you know, trades it right back. What do you make of what you've seen so far out of Burrow? Is it time to start going, whoa, what's going on with all these turnovers?
No, I think he's okay. I think it's the offensive line that, like many offensive lines in the league, are very bad. And right now, by the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers just now in the red zone, second and four from the 19. And to the point, in terms of the under, I think Pittsburgh, 46-21 last 10 years under after a straight-up loss, of course, where they lost to the Raiders last week. So, by and large, it's looking like that's a very positive trend for that, 37.5 the current endgame total.
All right, let's go back out to AAA. Anthony Armstrong watching the Washington football team, his old team, taking on the Buffalo Bills. And AAA looked like Buffalo up 7-0. Was knocking on the door for more. I asked about that Washington defense. Did they finally stand up and be accounted?
Absolutely did. Rookie Jamin Davis had a big stop on Devin Singletary. The Bills went for it on fourth down. The wind is whipping in Orchard Park. You know what happens, and my set's trying to fall apart on me, but we're going to make it work.
Are you okay, AAA?
I'm okay. I'm surviving. Right now, you got Taylor Heineke. He's got the ball. What is it? 3rd and 8 right now. You're getting live updates. Right. So basically, 4th down, Jamin Davis made a play, stopped Devin Singletary to give it back to Washington. But it's really windy in Buffalo. So you got to think about the kickers having trouble there. Coaches have to change their strategy based on the direction that they're going. So right now, hey, Taylor Heineke's going to try to make a play. 1st down to Logan Thomas. I mean, this is the craziest thing I've ever been in because my light's about to fall on my face. But you guys take it away. Oh, now he fumbled it.
Uh-oh.
Okay, he fumbled it. So now it's going back to Buffalo, but there may be a challenge. I don't know. I'm trying to keep the light off my face.
Well, you mentioned, AAA, that it's windy in Buffalo. It's apparently very windy in your house right now because it just blew over that ring light.
That reminded me of Mean Gene Okerlund at 1989 SummerSlam interviewing Bobby Heenan, and the set like collapses on him in the back, but AAA played it off a little bit better. Gene had the WTF moment there when the set fell on.
Well played, AAA. That's why you were a receiver in the National Football League. You caught that ring light. Right as it happened. All right, let's go back out to Will Hill watching the Falcons and the Giants. And I mentioned that they're going to honor Eli at halftime. Are these offenses honoring the great Eli Manning so far, Will?
They are not. A lot of punts. It's 3-0. Bad offensive line play. Neither ground game can really get going. Atlanta looked like what they would have a 1st down inside Giant territory. The receiver for Atlanta just couldn't hang on. But they got the ball back. They're going to have pretty good field position because on the punt return, it was a modest punt return, but they got a leading with the head penalty on the Giants. So Atlanta's going to start with their own 40, from their own 40 here, looking to get something going. But, you know, neither offensive line can really get much going, just trading punts back and forth. The Giants did have it inside the Atlanta 10. Jones took a big sack. They settled for a field goal. So 3-0 here. If you want to look for a live under, you're probably cutting it pretty thin because that number is going to probably be way down, I would guess, in the 30s now. I don't have it in front of me, but you know, neither offense can really get anything going.
Yeah, it's 41.5 right now. Giants -3 in the hook here at BetMGM. Just about to end the first quarter there, but slow start there in the Meadowlands.
Very quickly, Wes, and again, look, 2-0-2 teams. We don't expect a whole lot out of the Falcons. I think there were more expectations for the Giants this year coming in, right? They were kind of a sleeper pick. And
certainly for me, yes.
And right in the NFC East. So it feels like for the team with modest expectations in New York, this is a must win, right? They can't lose at home to the ATL, who have looked god-awful in their first 2 weeks here, right? And expect to have the semblance of a season. And again, I look at Joe Judge, and you look at Jason Garrett. These guys, their jobs are on the line, right? This is a... It's not a big week in the terms of us as fans or media watching, but for them internally, this feels like a must-win for the Giants.
Yeah, you would certainly think so. And that NFC East, if it goes by the pattern of last season in 2020, nobody's really going to pull away right now. You got to think that these teams are probably going to be around 500. By the way, in Tennessee, we just had a pickoff from Darius Leonard.
Okay.
Ball got popped loose, but the maniac able to get on top of the ball. So turnover for Ryan Tannehill early. Colts down 7-0.
All right, well, let's see if that holds. And again, as AAA reported before the ring light, came down. There was a crazy play in Orchard Park there. So we'll find out whether or not this fumble by Logan Thomas stands at about midfield. So the Bills could have a sudden change of possession if that does in fact hold. And I believe it will right now. Buffalo still up 7-0 on the Washington football team. You know, we're seeing here for the first time, I think, this season so far, Wes, not that weather is playing a factor, but wind is certainly playing a factor. The lack of kicking, certainly if you get down in kind of that gray area for field goals or going for it, you're going to see a lot more teams going for it, not just because of analytics, but I think because if you're gauging the wind in your particular stadiums, we're seeing it in Cleveland, we're seeing it in Buffalo, we're starting to see, right, end of September, that you really do have to, as a bettor, you have to start paying attention to the elements of the games as well.
Even though the elements did not affect Mr. Automatic, Justin Tucker there.
Indoors!
Yeah, he's auto indoors at Ford Field, but he misses a field goal early. Still no score between Baltimore and Detroit.
Let's talk to Ben Faulks right now back over at South Point. And again, he's watching that Patriots and Saints game closely. Last we saw, the Saints were up 7-0. We know there was a huge bet that came in that Ben told us about on the Saints today. Any sweats yet, or is it still looking like green light go for the Saints?
Still looking good, guys. It's been all Saints right now. Saints again with the ball. They got 4th and 3, I think, right in kind of that no man's land around the Patriots 40 or so. 13 seconds left in the first quarter. Looks like they're lining up to go for it. But they've been making it look easy so far. Mac Jones, I think, 2 of 4 for 13 yards. So all all Saints in the first quarter, 7-0 Saints with 13 seconds left here.
Very interesting, Ben, that when you look at Mac Jones, and again, we talk about rookies of the year all the time. Obviously, he's on the short list of the favorites to be the rookie of the year. But, you know, a decent week one performance, albeit in a loss, and looked pretty good last week in a win against the Jets. They don't seem like they're going to open up that offense for him just yet in New England. At some point, let's just say that the Saints kind of matriculate it down a little bit, get a 2-score lead. We got to take the training wheels off the kid, don't you, at some point?
Yeah, and you're seeing that. I think certain guys, that you know, they got to be a little bit slower and a little more deliberate. I think Mac Jones has more of a support system and more talent around him, certainly, than some of these other rookie quarterbacks do. We've seen Trevor Lawrence kind of struggle a little bit, obviously Zach Wilson last week, but second year guys maybe get a little bit more of the leash taken off. And one of those second year quarterbacks is Joe Burrow. They're in the end zone in Pittsburgh, 7-0. That was Joe Burrow to Todd Boyd on that touchdown, short field for Pittsburgh. They capitalize on that turnover. Steelers now -2.5, -$1.50. If you want to lay under that 340.5, the current in-game total. And -190 for the Bengals, +150 for the Steelers at BetMGM as Ben Roethlisberger takes another sack.
And let's go to Peter Dewey with that, with the Bengals and the Steelers. And again, as Wes just outlined here, a couple turnovers there that led to that touchdown for the Bengals. And again, we saw the money coming in all week on Cincinnati. And so far, that seems like to be the right side so far to be on.
Yeah, definitely seems like the right side. Joe Burrow just had by far the best offensive drive of the day. He found Ja'Marr Chase on a big third down and then came with back-to-back passes to Tyler Boyd, one being a 17-yard touchdown catch. The Steelers are going to need to stop committing penalties and stop letting Ben Roethlisberger fall on his back. It's not been great from their offensive line. We all know that they rebuilt that entire unit basically this offseason, but if the Bengals can stay away from turnovers, which is what did them in week two, they definitely look like a great underdog pick if you took them before. And right now I think they're at 2.5 favorites, but if Pittsburgh can't move the ball, it's honestly not a terrible bet.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, waiting to see if Ben Roethlisberger, and then you see the reports that, oh, he looks old. Well, we kind of knew that anyway. I don't know if we need an official report about that, but we finally do have points on the board. We'll tell you where those points came between the Chargers and the Chiefs. And again, most of these games starting to go into the second quarter. Low scoring affairs so far across the National Football League. We'll see if that trend continues when you come back with us right here. It is the Green Zone, week number 3 of the NFL on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any team, and if any team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VSIN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if any team scores a touchdown. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Back here on the Green Zone, Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. Wes, you're keeping an eye on the Titans against the Colts right now. What have you seen? I believe the Colts on the board.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of injuries on both sides, by the way, and the Colts now in the red zone. Nice call out of the tunnel screen there after Quentin Nelson. The timeout was for Quentin Nelson being down. Of course, their anchor on the offensive line, a leg issue, but was walking off under his own power. You know, Quentin Nelson's had some back problems. Mm-hmm. So Colts now going to have first and 10 from the 15, but a ton of injuries really on both sides. Not only the Nelson injury, but Quiddy Pay, their first rounder out of Michigan. Yeah. He has not come back into the game, still waiting on his status on the Titans side. A.J. Brown, the star wide receiver, hamstring injury questionable. Also, the defensive end, Bud Dupree, who they paid a lot of money
for as
a free agent to come in from Pittsburgh. He is currently out of the game with no helmet on, so his return obviously questionable as the Colts in the red zone, and it has not been good in the red zone. 8 plays inside the 5-yard line this season. How many points you think they've got off those 8 plays?
Off the 8 plays, I'm going to say 3.
They've gotten 0 points.
Zero.
So now they are here, 2nd and 4, so the Colts going to try to drive, and it's Nyheim Himes. Colts going to have a touchdown here and about ready to tie this ball game up. Extra point pending in Nashville.
All right, so the Colts getting on the board and making that an interesting game. Wes is going to be keeping a watchful eye on that, along with all the other games going on. But we know that Sean Green is watching the Chargers and the Chiefs today. And, Sean, we had a turnover that led to some points, the first points of the day. It seems windy at Arrowhead, and right now offense is a bit of a struggle, right?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill fumbled again as the Chiefs were going in to score. Looked like they were going to get on the board first. He fumbled. The Chargers now turn that into a touchdown of their own. Justin Herbert to Keenan Allen for a 4-yard strike. Jump out to a 6-0 lead. And that's where it stayed. Unfortunately, the Chargers being the Chargers, they missed the extra point. But now the Chiefs, they have the ball. They're driving. The live line flashed at 3.5 Kansas City right after the score. It's all the way up to 4.5. And I'm hearing the Chiefs have just fumbled again.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire looks like he put it on the turf there, and I think that's going to hold. Of course, all turnovers are reviewable, but as it stands right now, under 11 minutes to go here in the second quarter, another turnover, 3 for the Chiefs here in the first half. I guess luckily they're only down 6-0 at this point, but you know, at some point it becomes an epidemic where one guy doesn't, and it just keeps get this mountain. It starts to steamroll here against the Chiefs. I'll be honest with you, Wes. I had the Chiefs in some teaser plays today. Mm-hmm. We were waiting to see what was going to be the teaser buster, right? Because there's a lot of teasable.
There always is one.
There always is one, and there was a lot of teasable games today. Obviously, with a lot of key numbers, 7, 7.5 across the league. This could be one of those spots right now, as the Chiefs look like right now just flailing offensively with all these turnovers.
Yeah, they are. And look, that got priced in the market about how the fact that the Chiefs don't cover numbers. And we saw even at 6.5, the Chargers got some support, went up to 7, a couple 6.5s at the close of business before the kickoff today. But not a very good start for Kansas City off that game where they kind of let the Ravens hang around on Sunday Night Football and the Ravens get that late win.
Speaking of the Ravens, let's go back to Dave Miller watching the Ravens and the Lions in Detroit today. And Dave, I mentioned teasable games. Ravens, a very, very popular teasable team today as well. But so far, we got a defensive struggle on our hands, don't we?
Absolutely. And you guys had mentioned the Justin Tucker missed field goal. It was a 49-yarder. His first road miss in 28 attempts. Outside of a Lamar Jackson 31-yard scramble, the Lions have done a really good job. They forced a 3-and-out, a missed field goal, and a punt. However, if the Lions do lose this game, they're going to look back at that first quarter 3 times, all 3 possessions. They were near or across midfield. They had a situation 4th-and-1. They were going to go for it at roughly the Ravens 42. and Fowles, their tight end, had a false start forcing the punt. So they're going to look back at that first quarter because the Lions had chances. They've been able to move the ball a little bit on this Ravens defense.
All right, great update, Dave. And I look at that adjusted line, right? And I'm kind of curious with no score that it really hasn't moved a whole lot less. Now, again, time's ticking against you if you're a Ravens back here to cover that big number on the road, at least a two-score number, right?
Right.
So are you surprised that that has not been baked in a little bit here and that's remaining right around that 7, 7.5?
Well, not really, because I think what you look, and by the way, the Baltimore player being helped off is Hayes, and Baltimore on defense, and I think one of the reasons why you saw a lot of support for Detroit, including mine, they have three defensive line starters out either due to injury or due to COVID-19. So that Baltimore defensive depth is getting really hurt there. But to Dave's point, if you look, the injuries, I mean, they're just stacking up for these guys, and the Lions haven't been able to capitalize.
All right, let's go right now out to Will Hill watching the Falcons and the Giants. And I believe Danny Dimes and company, did they have to settle for 3 in New York? I know they were moving it pretty good there, Dave. All right, Will, sorry.
They did. It was first and 10 inside the red zone. It was either a bad snap or Jones mishandled it. It was like a 12-yard loss. They ended up settling for a field goal after a penalty. So it's 6-0 Giants, but maybe a bigger story here, the injuries. Darius Slayton has been ruled out with a hamstring injury. Sterling Shepard is seen grabbing his hamstring. He's limping around. Doesn't look good for him to come back. And really bad news, if this is serious, is Saquon Barkley was on the sideline getting attention from the train. Haven't gotten more of an update other than that, but something to keep an eye on. As far as the game, I mentioned maybe a live under earlier, down all the way to 37.5. Falcons just can't get anything going. Giants, not much better on offense. They've at least, had a couple of decent drives here. But 6-0 Giants, 5.5 on the live line. Atlanta will be getting the ball now, but lots of injury concerns here for the Giants.
Wow, Will, that is, again, when you mentioned Saquon Barkley going down, and look, this is why the Giants were kind of a chic pick in the NFC East, because you thought Saquon Barkley was healthy, right? You thought maybe they improved that offensive line a little bit. Maybe both of those things do not seem to be true right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if Saquon can't go, and we always say this, right? The best ability is availability. At some point, he becomes a liability.
Yeah.
If he just can't be a guy you can count on. This isn't a knock on people that get hurt, but the facts remain, if you can't play and you spend a top 5 pick on this guy at a Penn State not that long ago, Dave Gettleman, people start going, what are we doing here? What are we doing with Saquon Barkley? Can we really depend on him, or we have to start thinking about other options?
And speaking of injuries, a couple big names with foot injuries, that would be Khalil Mack for Chicago, his return questionable. And also just saw down in Tennessee, Quentin Nelson, who had foot surgery back on August the 3rd, carted off the field there. So that's not obviously not good for Indianapolis. I would not expect a return, but we will wait until we get the particulars on that.
Okay, let's go back up, I do believe, to AAA Anthony Armstrong watching the Washington football team, his old team, against the Buffalo Bills. And, oh boy, AAA, turnovers normally lead to points. Is that what just happened?
Turnovers did definitely turn into points there. Jordan Poyer, he makes a great interception off of Taylor Heinicke trying to come back to Terry McLaurin late. Now, one thing I can say, there's no pass rush going on for either team. Both of these quarterbacks are able to extend the plays, but Heinicke tries to make a throw to McLaurin. That gets picked off, taken down there. Dawson Knox goes up and makes one hell of a catch over Cole Holcomb in the front corner of the end zone. You're looking at close to be 21-0. Buffalo. Generally, this is where you would pass the sticks if we were playing Madden, but fortunately, there's a lot of football left. Let's see if Washington can get something going.
Pass the sticks, so says AAA at 21-0 right now for Buffalo. Again, I kind of had a small play to the over in this game, Wes, before, and I felt like it was a sneaky over just because the Washington football team vaunted defense. Well, they hadn't been playing any defense so far this year. And if you're Ron Rivera and you're Jack Del Rio, you just don't expect that when you have that kind of mentality, at least in the brain trust, with defense.
If they don't get a pass rush, this defense is very ordinary. We've seen that already through 2 games. I think that defense got a little overrated. And Buffalo clearly is proving that right now, up 21-0, minus 21.5 at BetMGM, 51.5 the current in-game total.
Okay, we are going to have to take a break in a little bit here, but we do have more points on the board, and we'll get the update from Sean Green on the other side of a break. But the Chargers right now, going into Arrowhead, taking advantage of those turnovers.
Yeah, absolutely. It is Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, by the way. So now 12-0. We'll see if the Chargers kick the one or go ahead and take the two. But midway through the second quarter, Chiefs getting shut out.
Yeah, and they're going to go for the two, and it looks like they're going to get the two. So it's 14-0 Chargers right now. Still scoreless in Detroit between the Ravens and the Lions. So maybe a sweat now if you're a Ravens backer there, as they really have struggled to move the football so far today. And again, the Cardinals still up that live adjusted line now 11.5 as they lead 7-0 over Jacksonville. It's getting hot. It's only 1 hour in. Boy, we got a long way to go. A lot of football yet to be played. Come on back. It's the Green Zone on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.